Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Purdy Insurance. Visit Purdy Insurance on Market Street in Sunbury or visit online at purdyinsurance.com. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Today's show brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. The Purdys have served this valley for decades because they've been able to find their customers exactly the insurance they need. I don't care if it's auto, home, life, business, you name it, they'll find it. And they'll also make sure you get the best price. There's a claim, you can't ask for a better partner that will work harder for you. That's Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. I'm in the Sunbury Motors studio, Sunbury Motors 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Moments away from another Olympic fun fact, but first our play-by-play call of the day, Will Thiemann for Michigan State.
10 seconds left. On the wing with the ball now is Langford. Now to Miles Bridges. 6 seconds. Miles has it. He's shooting for the win. He got it! He got it! He got a three! He got a three!
How about Miles Bridges from 22 feet? Nailed it! Man!
And the call of Will Thiemann on the Michigan State Radio Network as Miles Bridges hit a three-point shot to put Michigan State in front to stay Saturday in East Lansing. Time now for an Olympic fun fact.
Of course you remember this.
5 seconds left in the game. Do you believe in miracles? Yes!
But you may not know this. It's an Olympic fun fact with Kevin Herr on the Steve Jones Show.
Hi, everybody. Steve Jones filling in for Kevin Herr. We have two Olympic fun facts today. Number one, no skiing. They keep postponing it. Too much wind, too much snow. Darn Winter Olympics. They're going to try for Thursday. And our other Olympic fun fact, the Japanese Olympic Committee is having a news conference today to announce that one of their athletes tested positive today at the Olympics. The revelation will be a major embarrassment for their sports federation, which has long prided itself on a clean image and is hosting the 2020 Summer Olympics in Tokyo. Those are Olympic fun facts.
Usually something like that happens during the two-week span, but you think we would have got through at least, 48 hours? 72 hours before something like that hit the fan?
Yeah, it's a short track racer, but those are our two Olympic fun facts. I think that fits the theme, don't you?
I kept tuning in Saturday night waiting for the downhill, and I'm thinking, wow, because I tuned in after the wrestling on Saturday night. It's like, wow, I just thought I missed it.
Jamie Anderson won the gold in, what's it called, snow slope?
Snowboarding?
I think it's called snow slope, right? It's a snowboarding thing.
Yeah.
She won the doggone thing in Sochi. Well, she won today and did it with a very, very conservative run.
Slope style. Snowboard slope style.
Right? Well, she did it with a very, very conservative run, which was very, very smart on her part because the wind has been up over 30 miles an hour. You know, these athletes are so incredible. They'll take that snowboard and they'll fly who knows how high up in the air. Well, it's a 30-mile-an-hour wind. You still have to land. So she took a rather conservative route to doing this, and she was one of five that were able to stay on the snowboard. They had 20 out of 25 couldn't stay on the thing because of the high winds. They can't ski. They pushed everything back to Thursday. They've got problems. I mean, and not only that, they're having problems with spectators. And the reason they're having problems with spectators is that it's like 5 degrees with wind.
Yeah, I was catching a lot of the some of the biathlon. Looked like the place was half full. Some of the ski jumping wasn't filled. So
well, they're kind of, I mean, they've got a lot of Kramers there.
Yeah,
seat fillers at the Tony Awards. Here you go. they'll pay you to go over, which we talked about with Tony Knopf, that they have been like giving tickets away to fill seats. Well, now for some of for the outdoor, indoor events is no problem. But for the outdoor events, they are struggling like crazy because the weather's been so bad. It's still cold.
Yeah, I found on Twitter one of Tony's colleagues from Spotlight Ticket Management. Tony posted a tweet that at first you could buy like pairs or four max. It got to the point, well, hey, you can buy as many as 50 tickets if you want.
Right, well, exactly. And but the problem is for all the outdoor events, ski jumping, cross-country skiing, the snowboarding events, things like that, downhill skiing, with all the outdoor stuff, it's hard for them to justify having them outside with having fans there. It's too much. You look over, it's like it's 5 degrees. Well, yeah, I'm going to stand up here in the mountain where the wind's blowing, and I'm going to that's hard. It's hard to ask anybody to do, and it's been hard. For the athletes, then they haven't been able to train. They have not been able to train. Remember, they did training runs to start the week last week, and they haven't done anything since because the mountain hasn't been open. So.
I saw an interview from one of the USA Today Olympic reporters who was covering the snowboard over the weekend with being so cold up there. She was wearing a jacket that had a battery pack inside so she could have heat. And
that was the old Joe Paterno jacket. Joe had a jacket that had the heating like a couple heaters inside of it.
Right.
Joe had that. They got it for him and said, "You'll like this jacket." He's like, "Oh, okay." And he did. He liked it. He wore it during the game. Yeah. So I am very familiar with the concept.
Three temperature settings and just put it on low and it can last more than 6 hours. So
yeah.
So some of the beat reporters, it's like been there, done that. Well, I got to make sure I stay warm.
To.
Yeah.
You have to. You have no choice. But the wind has been the problem. Yeah, it's one thing to have bad temperatures. But, as you can stand outside, for example, and if it's 5 to 10 degrees, you can hang there for a little while. It's not bad. Right? After a while, then it starts to wear on you. But when the wind is 30 miles an hour, you can't stand out there. The other day, they were shoveling the parking lot out there, and the suit was supervising from inside. You were a witness.
Well, he was right out. He was outside, but just right outside the door in case he had to rush right back in.
Oh, he's a smart supervisor.
Yeah.
He's a smart supervisor.
So I was speaking of the suit, so I was watching the luge yesterday morning when we, finally won our first medal in luge. And it was about 8:30 in the morning, so I'm enjoying it, having a cup of coffee. So I text the suit, and I figure he's watching it. And I go, I can hear, he's in Danville, I'm in Lock Haven. I text him, I can hear you from here. Tone it down. Because, Mr. Luge, And yeah. I immediately get a text from him. He goes, don't tell me what happened. I DVR'd it. So I texted him. I go, you can sleep after the Olympics. Fake fan. Slacker.
Bo fan. I'd have texted him and go, wait till you watch Chris Matzer. He was great. He won the silver medal.
I was going to. I was so close. I should have.
Heck with that. Life is not done on his calendar. All right. Come on.
He goes, well, I was up till 2. I needed to get some sleep.
Till 2 doing what?
Watching Olympics till 2 yesterday morning. He's up till 2 in the morning.
Well, you heard what NBC did. I mean, NBC so far has not exactly had what you call a memorable run here. The first Olympic medal was a gold in slope, again, by the 17-year-old Red Girard.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's all over Twitter that he's won. 30 minutes later, NBC finally shows it when they could have shown it live. Right, they could have shown it live. They were actually in the open window, and they didn't show it. And then they showed it 30 minutes later, And not only that, all the swear words that were blurted out in the celebration, right? Like, okay, it's on tape. You couldn't have edited that part. They gave it the people were furious.
And then Tirico's apologizing about the F-bomb. And
he apologized all he wants. The guys in the back room had 30 minutes to edit that thing and didn't do it.
Yeah, takes a couple clicks now.
Believe me, it takes nothing to edit these days. I'm in a TV station, I can tell you.
Yeah.
Doesn't take anything to edit. Right. And they didn't do it. And not only that, they didn't show it live. It's one thing, they showed it live, and they had it. I mean, the event took place during their live window, and they didn't do it. Up till 2 in the morning watching the Olympics. We were sitting in the bar. We went over to the bar to get dinner. And they had Houlihan's in the hotel. So we go over to get dinner on Saturday night. So they had four TVs there. One had college basketball on. Virginia was playing Virginia Tech, which was near the end of that game. They're getting ready for Kentucky, Texas A&M. Another one had on the Wisconsin wrestling team was there, and they specifically asked for the Iowa-Penn State wrestling match to be put on BTN, so they did that. And I think one TV had the golf channel on, and the other one had on the Olympics. And so I'm watching this, and all I'm seeing over and over again is cross-country skiing, cross-country skiing, cross-country skiing. Then at one point, you know, they obviously had to be biathlon. Some of them were armed with weapons. So... Okay. So cross-country skiing, they're going around and around and around. So then we go in to get breakfast. So Dick and I go in for breakfast. Cross-country skiing, around and around and around. So then we want to get dinner in the afternoon, like 3 o'clock, because the game was 6 o'clock out there, so it should be 4 o'clock in the east. So we go in to get dinner. More cross-country skiing. Are you kidding me? How much cross-country skiing is in this thing?
Seems like each time I popped in NBCSN on yesterday, they were showing a lot of biathlon as well, too.
Yeah, I mean,
I'm just glad I caught the luge live yesterday morning when Chris won the silver medal, because last night it was pretty much all figure skating all the way through, and they had the luge on. They had the luge on not all that much, maybe about 15, 20 minutes of luge, but NBC does say... that their primetime Sunday night coverage on both NBC and NBCSN posted a 27 overnight. That's up 5% from the opening Sunday night in Sochi from 4 years ago.
I think they're able to show it live because of the 14-hour time difference. So if it's 8 o'clock here, it's actually 10 a.m. there the next day. So if something comes on, like they can schedule it for noon there, they can do it. But so far, it's not like we looked at each other. Like I've seen cross country skiing all over the lot. I have not seen anything else except cross country skiing. That's it. And that's only in sitting at the bar, because that's the only thing that they put on when we were watching. I watched three different times over the weekend because it was one of the four TVs, and it was cross-country skiing every time. I'm like, okay, that's great. So then, us cheering for the Norwegians. Go! Come on, move! Ah, man!
Shush! Oh, wrong winter sport. Sorry.
Oh, hold on. Mickelson's hitting a wedge over at 16. Wait.
I need to warm up. Yeah. Let's check out what's going on at Pebble Beach.
I saw the worst big game basketball broadcast I've ever watched in my life on Saturday. Purdue and Michigan State. Now, I want to preface this by saying that I think Bob Wershusen is an outstanding announcer. Great guy. Does the Jets. There's a lot of college football. Bob Wershusen's an excellent announcer, and in announcing this game, did an excellent job. So let's start with that. Other than that, this is where I get concerned about where sports broadcasting is going. They went to Allison Williams on the sideline. This is not an indictment of Allison Williams, by the way, at all. This is the producers and the directors and producers run the show. The director's in charge of the cameras. The producer's in charge of the announcers. So what they say goes. And I'm saying this from doing 30 years of television myself, okay? What they say goes. So they go over to her for a story about Isaac Haas. And in telling this story, Michigan State comes down after being down and hits a shot and ties the game. What? Then they went over to the sideline again for another story, and in the process of that, Purdue comes back and ties the game. Then they put up a graphic on who the top 10 teams are in the country, which means it's crowding out the game. Then they put who the top 10 potential draft picks are, which again is crowding out the game, and it was and Purdue came down and made another shot to go back in front while they're using this draft graphic. Then they were, now all this stuff should be done, by the way, coming out of commercials. Do it coming out of a commercial. Now, this last one here I'm going to point out was coming out of a commercial. And they were promoting how the college basketball announcers are going to be doing NBA games, and the NBA announcers are going to do college games next week.
That's right. Yeah, they're doing crossover Wednesday night, yeah. I think. Yeah.
Yeah, whatever. Unimpressed, but that's fine. That's, you know, it's another gimmick. And so they're going on about how Dick Vitale's going to do the Clippers-Celtics game. I'm like, oh, God, you've got to be kidding me. I know you're paying $1.4 billion. I got to keep shoving it down our throats. They're going on and on and on about the Celtics-Clippers. And meanwhile, Michigan State and Purdue are trading punches here with 5 minutes to go in the game. I'm like, will you just do the game? The game, this game is so good. So good, it can absolutely stand on its own, and they ruined it. And everybody that we talked to, everybody, you know, Dick comes up and says, did you watch that fiasco? I says, yeah. I said, I thought it was a disgrace. He goes, it's exactly what I was thinking. And we talked to Pat about it. Pat's like, I don't get what they're doing. Jim Ferry says, I don't understand it. I'm trying to enjoy the game, and they're doing all this mumbo-jumbo stuff. Does every game now have to have mumbo jumbo all over it? Do we need that? Virginia played Virginia, number one team in the country, goes to overtime and loses on its home floor. Do I need mumbo jumbo? Man, I don't understand who they're appealing to with this. I'm completely lost.
That is the promotion machine that is ESPN. But you think that they would get all that light stories that Allison Williams was telling you? Great, but you think they'd get a lot of that out of the way in the first half because you knew this was going to be a great finish.
Well, I mean, again, this is not a knock on her.
No, not at all.
She was told to do this.
Yeah, it's all about the structure of the broadcast.
Right. She's told to do it. So it's nothing to do with that or her performance. Zero. She's just fine. All right? But you do that coming out of a break. You don't do that when the two teams are trading baskets and fighting tooth and nail in a game that you expected would be had a chance to be a really good game. It turned out to be a great game. And you felt like they were doing everything except the basketball game. I mean, I don't know. There's something not right. And part of it is I don't know how to treat it in class sometimes. Because obviously the young people in my class watch ESPN. And, you know, are there certain things they do very well? Yeah, there's certain things they do okay. And there's a lot of things where I think they're ruining where I feel like I have to say, hey, look, guys, you need a different set of habits. Now, I'll give you a good example. They had to do a simple sportscast. I mean, it's the first assignment I always give, you know, 2-minute sportscast, soundbite in there and so forth. You know, I'm listening to how they sound, but I'm explaining to them, look, writing for a sportscast on radio is different than writing for a newspaper. Well, I said, don't get all flowery. I mean, in radio, remember, people are driving the car. People are making their breakfast in the morning. They're trying to get the kids off to school in the morning, something. I said, you got to be right to the point, get to it, news or sports. So I'm explaining that you have to understand people's lifestyles as you do this. I said, you know, and I started getting, I think,
nearly half the projects I got back 2 weeks ago included these long, flowery opens to then get to what the story was, and then there was a soundbite. And I finally stopped everybody after I heard about the fourth or fifth one. I said, hey, guys, we got to stop this here. I said, remember, I said, I don't want you writing this like SportsCenter. I said, SportsCenter has an hour. So in an hour, they can take all the flowery routes to get to it because they have an hour. So you've got 2 minutes. You got to deliver the goods in 2 minutes because that's all you're going to get on radio. See what I mean? How you've got to break certain habits that they think that that's how it's supposed to work. And I watched this game on Saturday, and I was really looking forward. Hey, look, this will be a good game. Looking forward to seeing it. Part of it was I wanted to watch Purdue again because Penn State plays them this Sunday. So you know, I'm going to see them. You know, the game was Saturday, so I was going to see them in person in 8 days. And I feel like Purdue's been playing no better than okay the last 2 weeks after playing great. They played great until the end of January. They've been no better than okay the last 2 weeks. So I wanted to see how they would play in that environment against Michigan State. And by the way, I thought they played really well. It's a tough place to win. But they ruined the broadcast. Again, I don't mind if they're talking about their crossover and so forth, because they, as I pointed out, when they did the crossover promotion, it was coming out of a commercial. It was a promo they just did for the crossover. Now, normally they'll hold the game until you're done, but what happened was that they were done with the on-camera thing, and then Dick Vitale kept going. Dick, there's a game in front of you. When did doing the game become the secondary part of doing the game? Did you hear the highlight that we played of Will Tiemann? That's Will Tiemann. That's a guy doing the game. And we're going to put up a graphic about the top 10 teams in the country. We're going to, after watching it crawl across the bottom 200 times during the broadcast. Now I got to see a whole graphic on it. You know, here are the top 10 potential NBA draft picks. Okay, great, fine. Does that include foreign players? You know, watch this. Like, what? Sometimes the game is so good it sustains itself. You know, in the Olympic thing, you know, I can understand the desire to tell stories about some of these athletes because most people don't know who the heck they are. Yeah, I mean, I'll give you a good example. Mikayla Shiffrin. Well, in the Olympics, she is a star of all stars. You still have to tell some sort of story about her because guess what? 90% of the country doesn't know who she is. That's not a knock on her. Nobody's seen her for 4 years. And she's one of the biggest stars at the Olympics. And they need to explain that because without the NHL players, because the NHL players come in, it's like the NBA. Like everybody knows them. Oh my goodness, there's Ovechkin, there's Sidney Crosby. Everybody already knows them. Oh my goodness, there's LeBron at the Summer Olympics. Right? Because they're on all the time. These people know. Mikayla Shiffrin's been competing every single year, but has been out of the spotlight for 4 years. So as great a star as she is in her sport, she is great. A lot of people don't know who she is.
Cupid's arrow has hit the bullseye. Cupid has hit the sign in front of Sunbury Motors Kia. Drive by and you'll believe in love at first sight too. 0% for 75 months. Fall in love with this deal at Sunbury Motors Kia. 0% financing for up to 75 months on 2018 Kia Fortes, Optimus, Sportages, and Serenos. See for yourself why Kia offers America's best value. An industry-leading 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain warranty on the highest-ranked large car, compact car, small SUV, midsize SUV, and compact multi-purpose vehicle in initial quality according to J.D. Power. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? Sunbury Motors Kia has 25 Kia-certified pre-owned vehicles on the lot. Cupid hit the bullseye of savings. Owens at Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf.
Warranty is a limited powertrain warranty. For details, see retailer or go to kia.com. For JD Power award information, visit jdpower.com. See dealer for details.
There are a lot of places to get insurance coverage, but only one place in the Susquehanna Valley ready to put four generations of experience to work for you. Hi, I'm Adam Purdy. At Purdy Insurance, we take the time to talk with you and find the right coverage for your needs. Everyone's situation is unique, so our approach is to customize coverage to best protect you. Whether it's home, auto, or business insurance solutions you need, call, email, or stop in to see how our commitment to personal service can help protect what matters to you.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
All right, great to have you with us. Brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. Purdy's have served the Valley for decades. I don't care if it's auto, home, life, business, you name the insurance. They carry it, and not only that, they'll find you the best price so that you're covered, and it also fits your budget. Something happens, they jump right in. Can't ask for a better advocate or work harder for you than Purdy Insurance does. Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. And we're in the Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Kia Routes 11 and 15. In Hummel's Wharf. And great to have you with us. Wrestling was awesome on Saturday night in the Jordan Center. Watched it in Champaign, Illinois. Nearly 16,000. Record crowd. Best wrestling team in the country deserves that kind of support. They are great. And it was great that 9,000 people who can't get into Rec Hall had a chance to watch Penn State wrestle Iowa. They say it was 16,000. Well, yeah, you know, but 9,000 people normally can't, those extra 9,000 can't get into Rec Hall. They had a chance to watch them, and I think it's great that they opened the door in the Jordan Center to make sure that they could get in and see it. So that was Saturday, and they put on, you know, Bo Nickel and Mark Hall took seconds, literally, to pin their guys. Nick Nevels was great. Shakur Rashid was great. I thought Nick Lee was really good. Zane Rutherford is in a class by himself.
Yeah, you could tell that Zane was a little disappointed, even though it was a decisive decision. You know, he's just, he's all out for getting bonus points. And that's not just Zane. I mean, that's Jason Ulf and everybody on the team. It's all about the key bonus points.
Yeah. Well, he wrestled Sorensen, right?
Yes. 1 versus 2.
Yeah, and he beat him in 1 versus 2. Yeah. I mean, I thought he was brilliant.
I thought he was too.
He was never in danger of anything except winning. That was great. Now you've got this game on Thursday night. And, again, here's the part that for a Penn State fan of any kind, I don't care if you're a football, basketball, wrestling fan, whatever it may be, what's great is that you go into a game like this with Ohio State, which is the conference leader, and they have earned their spot atop the conference. They took Michigan State at home, and they beat them with relative ease. They went to Purdue, rallied from 14 down, and won. They have earned their spot as the conference leader. They have a guy that is the leading candidate in many minds to be the conference player of the year in Kata Bates-Diop, who's had a great season. Better than 19 points, nearly 10 rebounds a game, 9 rebounds a game. And it's just been fabulous. And then Jayshon Tate's really good. Caleb Wesson is a really good big man. I think Micah Potter comes off the bench and plays well for them. I think C.J. Jackson has improved at least 50% over last year. I mean, good player. Had my doubts watching him last year. Do not have doubts about him this year. I think he's been really, really good. And Andre Wesson has been an unsung hero for Ohio State, especially in the last 3 games with Cam Williams out. And so they've earned their spot as the top team in the Big Ten. They didn't get there by accident. They earned it. Then you got Penn State. Well, Penn State's now won 5 of its last 6.
Penn State is going for its fourth consecutive win. And they've earned their spot. And as you know, of all the games I've done over the years, there's so many times I've gone into matchups such as this against a nationally ranked team. And I felt like there was a laundry list that Penn State would have to go through, including mistakes made by the opponent for them to be in a position to win. That's not the case with this. Where if Penn State plays really well and Ohio State plays really well, Ohio State can win. And if Ohio State plays really well and Penn State plays really well, Penn State can win. Both teams can play really well and you still don't know who's going to win the game. That's how much they've closed the gap. And that's what makes this a great game and a great matchup, especially at this time of the year. You've always wanted to get a game like this with stakes late in the season at home. Well, now you have a game like this against the top 10 team in the Jordan Center with stakes. Speaking of which, I want to make sure that we make everyone aware of Soika tonight, where it is the orange out tonight for Bucknell and Colgate. Bucknell and Colgate, orange out tonight at Soika. That'll be a lot of fun.
Yep, airtime will be 6:30 over on Eagle 107. It's great to have Bob Uhner stop in and see us. And
It's great to hear Bob.
Yes, yeah. He had exit stage left to roll back home and get the better half and get decked out in orange. He said, I'll look for you. You'll be the one in orange, right? And he said, yeah.
Bob scares you, doesn't he?
No, right, not so, at all.
Yeah, no, I'm just kidding.
he's the one that's part of the show that does not scare me. No, not at all.
Actually, yeah, that's actually true. He's actually, you know. We had a guy on, Thursday last week? Scared the daylights out of me.
Yes.
Whew. Kept talking about the Olympics and that he has his own torch in his own living room.
One thing Suit Light does not miss since he's now in college.
Well, I'll tell you, I might understand that he is starting to live a normal life. One quick note. We'll deviate from football, basketball, wrestling for a moment. And I want to go back to the Olympics. This is in all seriousness. Have you watched the coverage of the North Korean contingent? The sister of Kim Jong-un has been there. She has delighted people that she's been around. And I think she's still there. I think she's staying the entire time, isn't she? Does that sound right?
I did not hear that she has left Pyeongchang. As far as I know, she's still there. Yes.
I mean, to this point, she's delighted everyone. Yeah. Great personality, so forth. The Korean, North Korean cheerleaders have been there.
I got a lot of FaceTime during the opening ceremonies. Mm-hmm.
But there's an old saying that President Reagan had back in the 80s when he was negotiating arms treaties with Mikhail Gorbachev. It was trust but verify. And that's really important. I read a story in the Chicago Tribune yesterday, the Sunday Chicago Tribune. I mean, obviously, I was out in Champaign, so I read the Chicago Tribune. And I think I have the name right. Kim Wee-Wei. 30 years ago, before the Seoul Summer Olympic Games in 1988, she was trained in North Korea as a spy, and she was younger at the time. And the plot was to pair her up with an older agent spy and that they would pose under passports as a father-daughter from Japan. And they were able to get on a flight. I want to say the flight was in the Middle East, I think. It was on its way back. It was a Korean Airlines jet. It's supposed to fly to Seoul. So they got on the plane, she put the bomb in a radio, and then when they changed planes, when the plane took off, the bomb went off, and it killed everybody on board. Now, how they were able to catch her, I'm doing this off the top of my head, so if I get some details wrong, I apologize. But I guess the way they caught the two of them was that they were going someplace, changing planes, I mean, and they did it was suspicious. Like, what are these people trying to do, trying to get back to North Korea? And they're like, look at all the change of planes. And that's how authorities caught on, and they caught them. They were each given cyanide. Cyanide cigarettes. He bit into his and died immediately. She did and did not, and they captured her. So they brought her to South Korea for interrogation. They interrogated her for, I think, at least a couple of weeks, and they made zero progress at all. None. So one day they showed up and they put her in, they came in, they gave her a pantsuit. So they gave her a suit. Had her put it on, and then they put her in a minivan, and they drove her all over the city. Now, part of this is now her telling this story. And they drove her all over the city. Big buildings, bright lights, people in restaurants, happy, enjoying themselves, laughing, kidding around. They showed her the Olympic venues. You know, spectacular, brand new. She's looking at them almost in awe. And they took her to the countryside, showed her some of the countryside. Well, this was 180 from what she had been told in North Korea of what South Korea was like. 180. She couldn't believe it. It was not what she was told. She was told that South Korea was a dark, desolate, awful place. And she's looking around going, everybody's happy, laughing, kidding around. It's bright, big. Well, after that, she started talking. Because she figured out she'd been sold a bill of goods. She was given a death sentence for blowing up the jetliner. But I think, I want to say 1-2 years later, it was commuted. And she's been allowed to live her life in South Korea, where now she's a mother and a grandmother. And she now, of course, she retells the story. She'd really been quiet till about 2006. But now she's told and retold the story several times. And, of course, with the Olympics there 30 years later, you know, with everything's happening with the North Korean hockey team there, you know, with some members of, you know, most of the team South Korean, some are North Korean, so the Korean Unified Hockey Team and so forth, and the cheerleaders there and the sisters there and so forth. You have to remember that for me, part of this is like a major grain of salt, and here's why, because it becomes personal. As I've told you many times, my daughter and Sean, you were there when her and Andrew got married. Well, he is stationed in the Air Force at Anderson Air Force Base in Guam. Right now, they've got about 7-8 months to go, and then he's going to be deployed here to the States. They'll find out in April what some of the options might be. Well, exactly what part of the world has been threatened by her brother? Guam. He's threatened direct hits. And then, of course, he went through that exercise of, remember that one, I'm going to lob one to the north, one to the east, one to the west, and then one to the south, and surround the island. And when that happened, that's when I called her up and I said, hey, look, we need to talk. If you need me to, you know, do you need anything you need from me? If you want to come home, you can come home. She said, no, Dad, we're fine. He says, you know, at this point, then he was saying, he says, yeah, you know, he's talking about putting one north, south, east, and west. I said, yeah. I said, Andrew, I said, remember, I said, they're made with cheap parts. You're going to tell me the guy's going to be accurate? I said, I'm going to land at 25 miles to the north of Guam. I said, come on, it's made with cheap parts. You know, at least I got him laughing a little bit.
Yeah.
You know? But, right, I'm supposed to sit there and watch this kumbaya moment and not think about that? Really? Trust but verify. Let's not get too overwhelmed by this. This is nice, but it's also, to this point, as a cynic, a well-played hand by North Korea during the Olympics, where they're taking South Korea's Olympics they've promotionally hijacked it by being nice. And from a propaganda point of view, you have to give them credit for the brilliance of it. Now, say it were to work out, then I'd be the first to say bravo, way to go. But I need a lot more than just what I've seen so far. It's been nice, but played up way too big. They need to do a lot more than that. A lot more. And they can start by not threatening where my family lives. We'll come back with more in a moment here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Understand that suit light was at Albright, and he started talking about IndyCar. Everybody left the room.
Not good.
That was an educational moment.
Should have waited till finals week in May, closer to the race.
No, I would have waited till I got home.
Guaranteed audience of one there.
There you go.
Or two.
Tell me all about it, son. Yeah. So what is on the Olympics tonight? Do we know? The figure skating again? Or I haven't, because I haven't watched. I mean, I have not watched because, I mean, I've been busy. I mean, it's, you know, we went on the road. You know, I mean, train travel, and, you know, I watched a couple of games, whatever. And then Sunday I had a game and I traveled back. I have not watched. The Olympics. I mean, last night, prime time, I mean, you know, I was on the air at 6:30 and I was on the ground at midnight. Here, and then I worked here till 1 a.m. to get update shows done and things like that. So I have not had a chance. I've not watched any of this. So what is on tonight?
Scheduled tonight, you got more snowboarding. Chloe Kim, Shaun White.
They'll probably show Jamie Anderson tonight. She won a gold.
Yeah. Hopefully, well, they're supposed to have men's alpine skiing, but that's going to be scrapped.
That's been scratched until Thursday.
Some speed skating, women's speed skating, the 1500 meters.
Okay.
And there you go. That's all I see on this listing.
I've been invited to a place called Rock and Riley's in New York by Learfield for the Big Ten basketball tournament.
Oh, okay.
It's, yeah. Johnny Holiday, Dick and I are going to go out. So I'm not kidding you. So you're like, we already said, I'll give you a call in New York. Yeah, we're going to go. We're going to
have a repeat performance from Whiskers from last week.
I'm telling you right now, my side was so sore. I mean, all the stories Johnny told, my goodness.
Oh my goodness! Get you guys off to the side, and all the other broadcasters from the other schools, and boy, you guys could hold court for 3 hours.
Well, it's interesting because Drew Kelly sent me a really nice text after the Merrill Reese interview, and he said he felt like he was eavesdropping on two old friends talking, which that's very nice of him to say. I appreciated that a lot. Believe me, you would have loved to have eavesdropped on the night at Whiskers. I mean, You'd have sat back and you'd have heard some names.
Oh, I'd have been locked in. You kidding me? I would have soaked all that up.
You'd have loved it, right? And it was interesting. Like all the time, there wasn't one time IndyCar was brought up. But still, not funny.
I don't think anything racing oriented could be like maybe the one day that maybe Johnny lost a lot of coin on a Preakness bet or something.
that was brought up. That was Johnny told a couple great stories about being at the Kentucky Derby, where the job he had was to interview jockeys going and when the race was over. Well, the first guy that's going to show up after the race is over is not the winner. The winner's down in the winner's circle with the owner, and they've got the rose with the, they've got the roses on the horse, all thing. He's got the guy that finished last. Look, my horse didn't have it today. It's like, okay. So the next year they put him back down there again. They said, no, we want you to interview the first like two guys that come through. Well, he gets the guy that finished last and the one that finished next to last. Yeah, my horse didn't have it today. Really? Like, who comes up with these ideas? I mean, who comes up with these ideas? I'm telling you.
So I checked the primetime schedule tonight for NBCSN after 8 o'clock. They're going to have mixed doubles curling, semifinals, and a hockey game of the day. In case you want to flip-flop between there and the main network.
What's on Hallmark?
Let's see. I can tell you what was on Hallmark over the weekend. Just nonstop Valentine's Day movies.
Really?
Oh, yeah. They're gearing up. You know, it is the season of love, you know.
Okay. Believe it or not, I already took care of that. I did last week.
Well done.
There's stuff actually arriving tomorrow. I actually took care of it. I had a few extra minutes. I said, all right, make sure that you get this done. You are in shock.
Love it. Got to learn from you more.
Your station for news, weather, business, and CBS Sports Radio. News Radio 1070 WKOK Sunbury and on WKOK.com.